Great. Now, this is an interesting passage, isn't it? It was my 40th birthday party just a few years ago now, not that many. Well, quite a few. And we'd invited as many friends as we could, and it was a really happy time. But I always remember we sat around the table outside in the sun, and there was an older friend who said to me, and he was rather sober about it, and he said to me, "Do you know the saying, David? Before you get to 40, you think you'll live forever. But after 40, you begin to realize that you won't." Well, I don't know if it was because he told me that then, but I certainly have found it true that the older you get, the more aware of death you become. So it's a big, this is a big, big topic, important passage. So why don't we pray at this point, and then we'll launch into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together this morning like this. We thank you we can do this. We thank you that we gather in your presence, that wherever we are, you are there. Father, we thank you for uniting us. We thank you for giving us your spirit and your word, and we pray for his help now as we look at his word, that we might understand it, we might be encouraged, we might be helped. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name, amen. So here we are in 2 Corinthians, and I think in this particular bit of 2 Corinthians, Paul is sharing with the Christians there about the struggles and the difficulties of being a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And in this bit, he's particularly focusing on the discouragement of bodily weakness and pain and suffering and the spiritual pressures that go along with that. And he's very honest, isn't it? Isn't he? He doesn't hide anything. He doesn't play it down like our culture does today. He's very straightforward. And he says, and the first slide is, death is coming for us all. Death is coming for us all. And that's really quite a scary thing, isn't it? Scary thing to say. It's a scary thing to hear. The closer you get to the end of life, and as you find that some parts of our bodies no longer work as they should, I think the more aware you become of the truth of verse 16, chapter 4. We've got chapter 4, we've got chapter 5. If it's 16, 17, and 18, it's in chapter 4. If it's 1, 2, 3, or 5, it's in chapter 5. And I'm sure you'll pick it up. So, verse 16, chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, you'll find it helpful. I'm going to dot about. It says, outwardly, we're wasting away. We are wasting away. I had a look at a picture of me 40 years ago. I hardly recognized myself. I really looked quite handsome, I thought. No longer the case. I remember John Chapman, the Australian evangelist, and I remember him saying, and he was very direct and very pithy, like the Australians can be, and he said, "Growing old is the pits. Growing old is the pits." And he went on, "I live in a retirement village. It's a good place to be, but almost every day an ambulance comes from somewhere for someone, and some days it brings them back as well. Some days it brings them back." So verse 1 of chapter 5, you see there, it describes this body we have, our bodies, as an earthly tent, doesn't it? The earthly tent we're living in now. And it says it's going to be destroyed. Death is coming. Our bodies are like a tent, just flimsy and temporary. Now, it's a really big thing to get hold of, really big thing to get hold of. Many years ago now, we'd not long been married, and we were camping by the river at Aberystwyth. And across the field, there were a group of young lads. They just arrived and they were putting up their tent, and they just got it all put up together, all assembled there, standing around admiring it. And a gust of wind came, picked it up, rolled it across the field, and left it in a tangled mess. Tents are flimsy and vulnerable. The reality is, however we try and put it off, we know that sooner or later, unless Jesus returns in our lifetime, death will certainly, certainly overtake us. And there isn't anything we can do, really, ultimately, is there, to stop it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if we dwell on that, I think it's quite easy to feel defeated, to lose heart, feel weak. And perhaps you know someone who's afraid of death, but they have no hope and they're just resigned to it. It's really miserable, isn't it? We have a number of friends like that. Maybe that's you, I don't know. Maybe you feel like that. But I'm really glad to say that's only half the story, because the next slide, God has done something about it. There's nothing we can do about death, but God has done something about it. And what he's done is amazing. It really is amazing when you think about it. So Paul's able to say confidently, goes on in verse 16, we're being renewed day by day. We are being renewed day by day. It's the biggest job in the history of the universe, making everything new, including making us new. And God has given that job to his son, Jesus. And Jesus, by taking away sin, by destroying death, he's opened the door to a new resurrection life. He's opened the door for us, a perfect, fully human, everlasting life. And it's for all who come to him, all who confess their sin to him, to be forgiven. And he's done it so that they can join him in that new resurrection life. Verse 14, we didn't read it, but it's just before there, says God will raise us with Jesus. God will raise us with Jesus for that life. Now, I don't know, but I think that is superb news. It is the best news that anyone can ever hear. And it means this, that God is now in the business of remaking every person who belongs to Jesus. Everyone who belongs to Jesus, God is in the business of remaking them. We are being renewed day by day, verse 16, Paul says. I don't know if you watch the program Salvage Hunters. Hands up anybody who knows, watches Salvage Hunters. Drew Pritchard. Anybody? Yes, yes. John Scobell. Yes, the Hydes. Nick Hyde. Yeah. Well, a few of you know about it. Okay. It's a TV program. And at the start of each program, the announcer says rather solemnly, he says this. There's two people. They go around in a van through the country, all around Britain, occasionally abroad as well, even to Scotland. And he says something like this, with his faithful sidekick, T. T is the gopher, the one who carries things, the one who drives. Drew Pritchard scours the country in search of antiques so that he can turn junk into gems. So basically, he's going around the whole country, picking up stuff that he can restore. He thinks is going to be potentially very valuable. And he makes his living doing that. So fascinating. And sometimes he can come back with what looks like just a bunch of rotting sticks. I saw this once. And he gives it to Graham, the restorer, who's brilliant at what he does, this bundle of sticks. And Graham lovingly rebuilds it and repairs it and renews bits. And at the end, it's almost an unbelievable transformation. You see there, it's been turned back into a beautiful medieval bench. It's almost unbelievable, stunning transformation. That's just a tiny picture of what God is doing now in remaking every person who belongs to Jesus. And I think that's just so encouraging for us, that God is the master restorer. We are in his hands. He's the master restorer for the whole universe. And he's beginning with us. And when he's finished with us, he'll do the rest of the universe. I think that's the biggest thing you can ever think about, talk about. Doesn't that just fill you with hope? I think it should make our spirits sing. It feels like sunlight flooding in on a dark day, doesn't it? And do you see why Paul says in verse 16, therefore, we don't lose heart. I'm thinking about this, he says. You think about it. We don't lose heart. And then Paul tells us here about just quickly two things that God is doing in this renewing process. And the first one he's doing now, and the second one he will do in the future. By the way, can you see me? Can you see me? You can, yes. As well as the screen. Great.
Yes.
Okay. That's terrific. And first he says, Paul says, we are being given a new spirit. I've not really seen this before. I think it's really exciting. We're being given a new spirit now in this life. Back to verse 16. Though outwardly we are now wasting away, yet inwardly we are now being renewed day by day. What it means is this, I think, that by his Holy Spirit, God is prompting us to pray, prompting us, the Holy Spirit does that, helping us learn to trust him, putting in us the desire to hear his voice, pick up the Bible and read it, wanting to please him. He does that for us, wanting to keep his holy law. And he gently keeps on with us, doesn't he? Against all the natural opposition that's in us. I certainly find that. I guess you do too. Our natural self-centeredness, our pride, our selfishness, just wanting to do our own thing, choose our own way. And he's doing that inside, unseen. And it's not all. That's not all. We are being given a new spirit now, but the second thing he's doing is we will be given a new body in the future. And really, that's chapter 5, verse 1. Have a look at it with me. For we know, Paul is sure. He's sure, he wants us to be sure. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. He's saying that after death, our new body, we'll have a new body, and it'll no longer be a temporary tent, but a permanent house that's built to last forever. We built our own house here, the one I'm standing in at the moment, 26 years ago or thereabouts. And I do remember it was really exciting, pouring 60 tons of concrete into the foundations just to make sure that it would stand and last. 60 tons of concrete. There was a lot more stuff after that and a lot more work, but you know, we made it to last. Paul is saying that the resurrection body, the new body that God will give us, is made to last eternally, forever, never ending. It'll be a resurrection body. and we will have a new spirit and a new body, and we will be complete. We shall be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Another metaphor there. We've got the building metaphor, we've got the metaphor of putting on new clothes. But, you know, people say, and you may be thinking, and sometimes I think it, that sounds wonderful. Can it really be true? Does God really mean to do all that? And how can we be sure? And the Apostle Paul answers, yes, you can be sure. Verse 5, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. God is guaranteeing that he will complete the restoration of us. And he's done it by giving us already, if we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit to everyone who trusts in Jesus. You cannot trust in Jesus without the Holy Spirit. And Paul's logic is, if God has done that, and that's such a valuable thing that he's done, such a valuable thing he's given, it's like a deposit on a contract. When you give the bulk of it, you're certainly going to pursue it right through. And we can be certain that God will finish the job of renewing us. That's the guarantee. That's the guarantee. So what should we do when we are struggling with bodily weakness this week? I guess we will, won't we? Some of us certainly will. When we feel lonely, when we feel depressed, when we feel discouraged about lockdown, when we are struggling spiritually, when it's hard resisting temptation, when it's difficult to pray, what should we do? And the answer is the next slide. And it's a bit sort of counterintuitive, isn't it? Gaze, Paul says, at what is unseen. Gaze at what is unseen. Put verse 18 into practice, he says. Have a look at verse 18 with me. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, all the stuff around us, your house, all your furnishings, outside the world, all our bodies, all everything we can see, including the stars, are temporary. They're temporary. And what we cannot see is the eternal. How do we see? How do we see the eternal things? How do we do it? Well, we do it by listening. You know, when somebody tells you a story, you see it in your mind, don't you? And it's like this with God's word. When he tells us what he's doing, we are meant to see it in our mind's eye. See the truth there and meditate on them, Paul would say. Think about them. What does this really mean? What does it mean for me? Treasure them, memorize them even. We see by faith. That's what it is. It was what our first song was all about. Do that and then see if verse 17 doesn't begin to make sense. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles, Paul says. In the light of that, they're just light and momentary. You know, the fact we're wasting away and that we struggle and life is difficult. Light and momentary. They're achieving for us an eternal glory, a weight of glory that far outweighs them all. Gaze at them, Paul says. Gaze at them until you see the glory that's waiting. Why don't we pray together? Let's pray. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Heavenly Father, we pray for one another, we pray for ourselves that this week coming and for the rest of our lives that we might much more put this into practice. We might know what Paul's talking about here, realizing the glory that's coming and how light and momentary, temporary our troubles are now. We thank you for encouraging us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.